No new recommendations when you're on the high-risk list might seem like good news, but the Government Accountability Office says that's partly because it's already made more than 2,100 recommendations since the Homeland Security Department was stood up in 2003. The GAO's latest look at DHS high-risk list items shows more than a third of them still need some work. David Mowers, Director of Homeland Security and Justice Issues at the Government Accountability Office, he's been looking at some of the ongoing issues at DHS that are keeping the agency on the high-risk list. Dave, it's great to have you back on the program this afternoon. Now, your boss, General Dodaro, outlined a number of these issues at the House Homeland Security Committee last week. And it's pretty straightforward. This work says DHS needs to show measurable, sustainable progress in implementing key management initiatives. And this is, what, almost 11 years into the history of the Homeland Security Department. Dave, it's great to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you, Francis, as well. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, DHS is a department that's now 11 years old, and we put them on the high risk the day they were created, in large part because it was such a mammoth undertaking. They remain on the high risk list for predominantly their management functions, in part because that's the area where they've struggled the most in achieving positive results.
Let's not completely throw them to the wolves, because there is progress detailed here. They are accomplishing some of the things that you've charged them with accomplishing. Is that fair to say, Dave?
That's very fair to say. I mean, as you correctly pointed out at the top here, that they have implemented 68% of the recommendations we made over that time period. Specific to the area of management high risk, they've made a great deal of progress, particularly in the last 4 years, addressing deficiencies in areas like acquisition and financial management, human capital, and IT.
There are three major parts of the issues that DHS has that I'd like to address. The first of them is human capital management, and you say DHS has developed and demonstrated progress in implementing a strategic human capital plan. I just saw Jeff Neal this morning at the Excellence in Government Conference, and we chatted a little bit about the progress that he sees at DHS, but even he concedes there's still work to do there on when it comes to human capital management.
No, he's absolutely right. And, you know, he was instrumental in getting that initial plan put together and rolled out at the department. But they're facing sort of two key challenges in human capital. One is one I think is very well known, which has to do with an employee morale at DHS. In the federal surveys from last year, DHS was ranked 36 out of 37. Large agencies for overall employee satisfaction. That's clearly an area of concern for departmental leadership. It's something that Secretary Johnson talked about at his confirmation hearing, and we know it's something that departmental leadership is focused on. I think the challenge in that issue is it's like turning around a battleship. It's going to take a good deal of work trying to understand what the root causes are and taking actions to address them.
Well, and I alluded to the fact that DHS is 11 years old. That's not necessarily an excuse for the time for the issues that they're having, but combining that many agencies, 21 agencies into one, plus trying to, as you say, turn a battleship on a dime, is a monumental task. And so I wonder if it's possible to figure out some kind of context for trying to do all those simultaneously as we look at the time that it takes for DHS to address these issues.
Yeah, it is a major challenge for all the reasons you point out. And the other thing that, of course, DHS faces is that they have to perform very critical missions across the various components every single day. So it's not like we can just decide, well, we're going to stand down Border Patrol for 6 months and make sure we get everything up and running 100% on the management front. No, they have to be operational and executing their mission 24/7 across a wide variety of mission space. So, you know, they're trying to balance the need to execute the mission while performing the, you know, sort of longer term investments in having the management framework to ensure that operators are getting the most for the money.
This testimony says DHS is finalizing its analysis of skill gaps in key portions of its workforce, and that's not something that's peculiar to DHS. A lot of agencies are doing that. Is there anything different or especially significant about DHS doing that or the way they're going about doing it, Dave?
Well, I think the main challenge for DHS is the fact that there's such a diversity in the workforce within the department. You know, you're talking about Secret Service agents and Coast Guard people and Border Patrol and transportation security officers and folks performing customs responsibilities and intel analysts, and the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, when you have this very large, very diverse workforce, trying to get your arms around just what are the skills that you have in-house is a challenge, and then trying to determine what you need is an additional challenge. So this is something they're going to be, you know, I'm glad that they're starting to focus on it. They probably should have done this sooner, but they definitely have some work ahead in understanding what the gaps are and taking efforts to fill them.
David Maurer of the Government Accountability Office is my guest. He's been looking at Homeland Security issues for a long time at this agency and talking about the testimony of Comptroller General Gene Dodaro at the House Homeland Security Committee recently. You can find the link to the testimony at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. And Dave, this testimony says half of DHS major programs lack an approved baseline, 77% lack approved lifecycle cost estimates, and the department has not implemented its acquisition policy consistently. Three pretty major problems for the acquisition management piece of DHS's appearance on the high-risk list.
Absolutely. In fact, if you were to sort of rack and stack the different management areas, I think acquisition is definitely the area where they have the greatest amount of work ahead. And precisely for the reasons that you just pointed out, there are far too many programs where it's not clear what it's going to cost, how long it's going to take, and what the specific requirements are. You know, DHS has pretty good policies in place for how acquisitions should be managed and how decisions should be made. But over the course of many, many years, for a variety of reasons, those policies have not been consistently found. So now you're at this position where acquisition is a major problem for the department.
I know this is a very complicated problem, and I know I tend to oversimplify things. It's easy for somebody on the outside like me to look in and say, well, this just seems very simple. But why isn't it as simple as just saying, these are our policies, these are the ways we have to do things, so you just have to do it this way?
Well, some of this stems from the fact that DHS has important missions, right? And so their leadership has to constantly balance, do we want to spend another 12, 18 months on this particular program to make sure that the testing is done properly, or do we want to get it out there sooner to be able to address a particular threat? So, you know, that was sort of the mindset that pushed out a lot of this technology before it was ready to go. That happened with technologies for detecting radiation on the borders. It's happened with some of the technologies that were designed to detect explosives and other things in airports. And we've seen it over the years in border security technology along the southwest border as well. They want to get it out there, but the problem is you end up rushing to failure.
It's right, and that's exactly where I wanted to go next. You can rush this stuff out there, and if you rush it out and it doesn't work, then you haven't gained any time if that was the goal if that was the original goal.
Absolutely. You haven't gained any time. You haven't enhanced your capabilities. And, oh, by the way, you've wasted billions of taxpayer dollars. So it's a major issue. And the good news is that the DHS has really been grappling with this. The secretary recently issued a memo just about 2 weeks ago talking about changes in how the department is going to approach strategic-level decisions on where its resources are going to go. And that's going to be an important guidestone for the overall acquisition reform efforts.
Another piece of this is financial management, and this testimony says DHS has made progress toward improving its financial management, but a significant amount of work remains to be completed. Still some material weaknesses at the department level, this says, in areas such as property, plant, and equipment. And that's a holdup. Why, Dave? Is that an operational holdup, or is that just something that is a holdup on the backside of operations, not that's actually preventing the agency from accomplishing the mission?
It's important to have good financial management to effectively run a department as large and diverse as DHS. I mean, you can think about it as being a $60 billion enterprise. So if you want to make decisions on executing your mission, that ultimately comes down to decisions on where do you want to spend your money. When you want to make decisions about where you want to spend your money, you need to know how you're currently spending it now. And if you don't have good financial management, you're not able to do that. So, you know, it's a great sign that DHS was able to get their first clean financial opinion at the end of 2013. That's a sign of definite progress. We want to see them sustain that progress. We also want to see them get a clean opinion on their internal controls, and that's something that they say they're going to be hopefully achieved by 2016.
And that you actually anticipated my last question, Dave, and that is, what does that first clean financial opinion really mean for the overall financial management picture? I mean, I imagine there are some folks who say, well, we got that, so we're really that's a big chunk of the way towards success, but it doesn't sound like that's necessarily the case.
It is definitely a success for the department. I want to give them a lot of credit for that. But I think everyone in their office, the chief financial officer, knows that it's something that needs to be sustained. It can't just be a one-year heroic effort to get everything in line and pass muster with their financial auditors. You have to have systems in place so that it's done on an ongoing, repeatable basis. And that's the measure of success.
Dave, thanks for your insight, and I appreciate your time this afternoon, as always.
Thank you very much, Francis.